We're here to talk The Walking Dead. We are Aaron and Jim from The Watching Dead podcast. We are here to talk about season 10, episode 1, Lines We Cross. It's been a couple months since we've talked about The Walking Dead. We're still a year behind. A lot of people have asked me. I guess they missed it on the podcast, but it is our intention to catch up with The Walking Dead and be all caught up by the time season 11 starts, hopefully later this year. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to do the first 8 episodes of season 10 all in a row. We're probably going to take a little bit of a break and then do the next 8 episodes at some point later in the year, take another break, and then come back to do whatever these weirdo 6 bonus episodes that are starting this weekend, I think.
Yeah, they're not part of season 10, but they're definitely part of season 10. They're really not making it easy for us to get through this.
Yeah, it's like they keep on moving goalposts.
Yeah.
They keep on, you know, we thought 60 episodes. All right. Now there's 6 more. And then I think, what is next season supposed to be, like 24 episodes? Like an old school?
Why not? 52 episodes. You can do it. I have faith.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like 2 seasons. I don't know. It sounds like some kind of contract negotiation where you got, and watch this next season be split into like 4 different parts, you know,
like, yeah, 4. Do like a deck of cards worth of an episode in or episodes in a year. You get and 4 Wild Guard episodes and maybe the instruction cards too. Why not?
Walking Dead Eternal. It's just every week of the year. Oh, it never goes off.
Oh, like Disney with MCU? Yeah.
Yeah. And the Star Wars stuff, it's just going to be round the clock. We're going to have the Book of Daryl, the Book of Carol, new zombie Rangers with Lil Ass Kicker.
Mm-hmm.
Obi-Wan. Yeah, I don't know. I'm run out. Obi-Wan Eugene. So, yeah, we're here to talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. You know, we're going to take the MP3 file of this and throw it out onto the Walking Dead feed as our feedback from week to week. We are also doing written email feedback. We're going to hold off on that until the middle point of this season. After our first 8 episodes, you can send that into watchingdead@baldmove.com, but we're going to use the stereo.com app for the next 8 weeks to take feedback every Wednesday night. What do you want to talk about while we're waiting for feedback to queue up?
I really wanted to play around with this stereo app. I wanted to see if my mouth would move if I was like clonking together some coconuts, Monty Python style. If I could just make weird things happen. But you're right. We should probably talk about The Walking Dead. I don't know, man. This was a crazy episode.
We got a new baby. You know, we've had a baby / toddler has been a staple fixture of The Walking Dead. Yeah, Coco. Mm-hmm. They haven't figured out how to do much more with them than make them cry and have zombies hunting them. Even last year, we had a whisper baby that almost got offered up. Do you think they're going to do something interesting? You know, you actually have a semi-functioning society. Do you think they're going to actually do something interesting with these?
What can you do with a baby? Like, that's what babies do, cry and
that's true.
Shit and eat and sleep. That's it, right?
Yeah, they're largely only interesting in so fact or in so much as what they can tell us about the parents. And I guess that's the interesting situation. You've got this quadruple, you know, with Eugene kind of annoying the piss out of Sadiq at least, and kind of annoying Rosita, that's her name.
Yeah.
And then you've got, which is also interesting, that he's annoying Sadiq because also Sadiq got this pressure from this new Dante guy. Mm-hmm. Which, how do we feel about Dante?
He sure do got a pretty mouth.
He sure does have a pretty mouth. So we got that, and then the final one, Gabriel, who seemed like he was really detached. There wasn't any like cute moments between her and him and Rosita, and he didn't seem like he was having much to do with the baby. What's his deal? Is he has gone full on sheepdog?
Is that because Michonne's out of town? Like, Michonne's down visiting Oceanside, and so he's kind of left to be the guiding light of Alexandria for a while.
Maybe if all the like real heavy hitters are doing military drilling on the beach.
Yeah.
Doing phalanx training. Maybe that he's had to take the guardian role.
Could be. Could just be not up to the task. I don't know. I mean, Gabriel. Yeah, what was last season for him? It was a bunch of like half Morgulizing, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, it was
him. Well, he was trying to push in one direction toward like taking people in, and then Michonne was pushing the other direction, and
yeah, and he was trying to navigate, you know, his relationship. Yeah, didn't he get kidnapped? Was it him and Eugene that got probably kidnapped and locked in the woodshed? I don't know.
Can't remember.
We have a piece of feedback if you want to trigger it, and we'll all consider right. it.
Fire it up. Here we go.
Roll the dice.
This isn't exactly about the Walking Dead. Oh, hi. It's FOMO. Yeah, this isn't exactly about The Walking Dead, but there's another Kirkman comic being adapted by Amazon, Invincible. I was wondering if you guys have ever heard of it, if you guys are thinking about checking it out. It's an animated series, and Steven Yeun is going to voice the main character, Mark Grayson, kind of a superhero, but ironic take, more ironic, realistic, where it's pretty gruesome and violent, deconstruction, all that stuff. Anyway, yeah.
I'm looking this up, but I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, I have heard of it, but that is literally it. I haven't been, because didn't Kirkman had another project that got adapted to some kind of HBO thing, didn't he?
Yeah, it was the horror thing.
It's always the horror thing.
Crap. I don't remember the name of it, but we watched a few episodes and I thought it was pretty good. I just didn't stick with it.
Yeah, me either. Had some pretty decent atmosphere. Invincible Comics, so. Yeah,
I like Steven Yeun.
It looks like is it kind of like comedy? Because I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry on this, and it looks like kind of the Blue Beetle versus Beast Boys crossed with Robin is the feel I'm getting here.
Beast Boy.
Yeah, that's like a Teen Titans kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've got I might check it out, but I've got no history with it.
Yeah, same here.
My brain's grinding trying to shift from The Walking Dead to Invincible to the Invincible gear. I'm curious about what people think about. That's the thing. It's like my Eugene nuke bomb theory. Mm-hmm. Guess I don't know what I'm asking for people, because like if you've seen the series, you can probably just confirm it's true or not true. But I guess if you're one of those haven't, you're like us and you're coming, I know a lot of people are. I got a lot of that feedback from Twitter today that people were kind of waiting to watch season 10 until we started covering it. Where was I going with that? Oh, if you're one of the ones that have like fresh eyes on this, I would love to know what you think of the Eugene nuke theory.
I think we have right here. Let's see.
We got it. We got one on the line. Reel it in.
There are funny moments, but it is deathly serious. It's not. Oh yeah, I said it's deathly serious. It's not super funny all the time. More funny than The Walking Dead as a comic, but it's no. It's certainly no. Why the Last Man or something like that.
Hmm. There you go. Well, I don't know. Like I said, I'm just judging by the Wikipedia art, and it looks colorful and whimsical. But
I'm excited about your theory. I'll be disappointed, actually, if we don't get a nuke by the end of this season.
I mean, it's super fun. I mean, that's the thing. It's like pulpy. It's fun. It gives Eugene another. I mean, it's like Eugene could threaten to turn into a little bit of a Wesley Crusher here. We already, like he is single-handedly stitched back the communities together with his ham radio operation.
Mm-hmm.
He has built a flour mill. He is reloading guns and ammunition. Although, man, it just doesn't seem like people get shot anymore. Like everything is very, very melee oriented, it seems.
Yeah, like the shooting really comes out when the other survivors, for lack of a better term, show up. That's when you guys start shooting. But yeah, they were trying to last season make a point of like, oh, they're running out of ammo.
Right. Which,
I don't know. I guess the war with Negan took a little bit.
Yeah, we talked about like, you know, like, yeah, it's probably not hard to come up with black powder, but where would you get lead? You know, sure. You keep your shells, but like, I guess if you're outside and you're blasting zombies and the shells are falling on the ground, you can't pick those up. And those are all, broadly speaking, non-renewable resources in the zombie apocalypse. But
yeah,
I guess they're running out.
All right, let's check out the next voicemail.
Let's do it.
So this isn't about the Eugene theory, but it is related to The Walking Dead. So obviously with Fear the Walking Dead, half of, I think it's season 6 now that's just come out, and obviously there are links between The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead, but do you think that they will ever properly like come together? Because at the minute there's like little links, but they haven't been like properly joined. Do you think they ever will?
It's Morgan, right?
Is he still on there? I thought that like was a single season experience. I have like really fallen off. Like the fact that Fear of the Walking Dead, when she said it was season 6, I'm like, holy hell.
Because
the last time I was paying attention to it was season 3. I think that it seems like what you do is when, so like season 11 is the last of the Walking Dead. You take all the cast, you somehow engineer a satisfying finale for this series and take all the cast that's willing and you somehow meet them up with Fear the Walking Dead. And then you keep going with that because that gives a fresh injection of give a shit over the Fear the Walking Dead. And it takes some of these, like, you know, there's a lot of people that have just joined in the last few years. I'm thinking like Sadiq, right? All of the you know, Professor Luke, the Boston Robs, the Yokimos,
Yomika.
Yomika. You got your Connies and your Kellys, your Magmas, all those people really haven't got a chance to shine. They're only getting like a season or two to strut their stuff. So that's how I would do it. You just structure. I don't know what's going on Fear the Walking Dead. Are they still on the West Coast? Have they, like, you know, did Morgan start walking west and they start walking east and they met in the middle over the Rockies someplace? Like, I'd have to know more about Fear the Walking Dead. But I feel like that's what you should do. You should take these Johnny-come-lately survivors on Walking Dead Prime and you roll them in, the ones that are willing, you roll them in to Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah, you could do it with a movie. We've talked about like, whoa, what are they going to do with Rick? Is he going to come back? Are there going to be movies? One of those movies could be connecting the dots.
That's the thing. Like, I could squint and actually see something big enough that brings me back into Fear the Walking Dead. You know, it's like if they have this, like, you know, the Walking Dead Rick Grimes, and it's just like awesome, you know, kind of like, I was a big X-Files fan and I really liked the X-Files Fight the Future. That felt like a big event that was going to change things forever. Of course it didn't. But you know, they have something like that where they use this massive, like almost Avenger style crossover to bring all these things together and like open up the world. Cause we don't know a lot about what's going on with, you know, trash girls, AB people. We don't know what's going on with Maggie and Georgie. Is there a way that you could, because, and those are also, we talked about this in the last podcast, those are all kind of like bigger parts of the world that we have very little visibility into. So maybe
you'll probably know a lot more at the end of this season, I imagine.
Right.
Because I can't remember when it was that they knew that Lauren Cohen was coming back, but I thought it was before they got through this season, which means maybe they've had some time to sort of plan their reintegration of her into the story.
Yeah, and this, the new regime of The Walking Dead does kind of sweat those details. I don't know what's going on in Fear the Walking Dead and Gimple Land. But yeah, I can see, like, I mean, obviously a Rick Grimes movie will shed some light on the trash people A-B divide. So then, you know, and it probably won't feel satisfying unless, you know, he gets to reunite with at least some of the people from Alexandria. So bam, you're already bringing most of them. You just got to get the Fear the Walking Dead folks in there. And then you got a unified, I don't know what they call it. And also, did anybody watch the new spinoff?
Oh, World Beyond?
World Beyond the Walking Dead? Like, yeah, that blew into, like, because we have Shudder, AMC Shudder as a sponsor, and that was, like, the highlight thing. And then the next copy we got, it was gone. Like, we're still talking about, Nicotero's horror show, and we're still talking about streaming The Walking Dead, but, like, the World of Walking Dead, I don't know how that was received. I know the early reviews were not great, but, you know, I also don't know if any Walking Dead franchise would get a fair shot by your average critic at this point.
Yeah. I don't know. I think when Rick comes back, he's going to be some kind of Jesus figure to Judith, though, because she's talking about how he sacrificed himself for the good of all mankind. And if he's coming back from the dead, well, you can't have him actually come back, right? So he's got to come back and then go away again, because I doubt Andrew Lincoln's going to be on this show officially yet again. So if he does come back, he's going to sacrifice what, himself a second time for the good of the people? Boy, the legend continues. Well, Michonne,
so I've heard that they're going to do a Daryl Carroll spinoff. Have you heard that?
No, but they're talking like it in this episode.
Yeah. So this was announced back in September that after the season 11 of The Walking Dead, that Norman Reedus and Melissa McBride are going to continue the roles as Daryl and Carol in a new spinoff, also helmed by showrunner Angela Kang.
Is it just going to be called Ride?
Melissa, I mean, that's McBride. What they're doing.
Oh God!
But what I was getting at is, this show's wrapping up. Carol and Daryl are going to jettison out of an escape pod. It makes sense that, like, you just give Rick a happy ending. He just retires in Alexandria with Michonne and baby Judith and RJ.
Okay.
RJ gets to meet Jesus, you know, his father, Jesus Christ, as you said. Uh-huh. And that just closes the books on the Alexandria chapter. We, like, leave them in a good place. They've defeated the Whisperers. They've got their constitution. Maybe they've added another community or two. Maybe they've, like, redeemed a lot of the Whisperers that maybe would welcome leadership that's not alpha. You know, maybe they settle the Valley of Death or whatever, get an encampment going there. And you just leave, yeah, like the Rick movie just puts a nice little bow on that, and the Grimes family with Rick and Michonne get a nice happy ending. And then you keep, you know, Daryl and Carol, obviously they're restless spirits and they're gonna have to wander off. But yeah, I think that I can see that. That's a good way to end things. Cap it off with a Rick movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here's what's new in premium content for our club members.
No lunch this week, as I'll be traveling on vacation, but get ready for next week when we have the rare, elusive, dare I say premium lunch with Talitha and Aaron.
And while you're waiting for the return of the king, don't forget, May is the time to switch your Patreon tiers to make sure you maintain your full benefits by June. Stop by support.baldmove.com to check your Patreon levels to see the new benefits and decide which one is right for you.
And finally, tickets are now on sale for Badass Fest 6. Come meet us live and in person, watch a mystery badass film with us, and then hear us record the podcast right there in front of you in a theater packed with Bald Move fans. Get your details and your tickets at baldmove.com/live.
If you want more Bald Move in your life, head over to support.baldmove.com right now to find out how you can get tons of bonus audio and video content, plus ad-free feeds. You've been listening to quite a few Bald Move podcasts now, but you're not in a club? Whoo boy, you are missing out.
Not only are all of our premium club podcast feeds completely ad-free, but we have lots of other great content exclusively for people in the club.
There's a weekly lunch with Jim and Aaron where we chat with fans about anything and everything from TV and films, food, fun, life advice, and more.
But there's also Off the Clock, our premium podcast where we talk about all the shows we don't have time for on our public feeds.
Plus, you get access to our full spoiler-filled first-run movie reviews of our newly released films.
Don't forget Instant Take and Talk podcast, where we give our hot takes and discuss television shows with our fans live and immediately after the episode airs.
With mega shows like House of the Dragon coming this summer, we're going to have lots to talk about.
Not to mention access to our fun and friendly community of club members, with exclusive Discord channels and a dedicated forum. It's one of the best places on the internet to hang out and chat about pop culture.
Bottom line, you're helping two regular type guys in the Midwest make the content you like to listen to, which some would say is rewarding to itself.
Help keep the lights on and the bits flowing at Bald Move.
And get some awesome content for yourself. Head to support.baldmove.com to join the club today.
All right, we got more messages.
Yeah, so like when I got to season 3 of Fear the Walking Dead, I nearly gave up watching it, but then I kept on, and I'm actually really glad that I kept on watching it, because the new half of season 6 that they've brought out is actually been amazing, and it's starting to link up with The Walking Dead a lot more. Like, there's, I can spot loads of kind of links, so it is worth watching.
Okay, yeah, I hear that about Fear the Walking Dead, that like every other season they kind of course correct and get back on track, and then, you know, somehow lose their way again somewhere along the way.
Yeah, I heard that everyone is really excited about Fear the Walking Dead for a season or season and a half, and then like Gimple took over and it kind of went into shitter, and then I kind of wrote it off once I heard Gimple switched over there, and everyone said that season was kind of silly. But that's exactly what they need to do. Like, the AMC probably needs to consolidate all their zombie projects and bring the ones that need to be brought to a close, launch whatever movie franchise they want to launch. Because that's another thing. Like, I thought that I read somewhere that the Rick Grimes is supposed to be like a trilogy. So you give a happy ending, but you also like, yeah, every 2 years I would go back to Alexandria and kind of see what the hell's going on, you know? Mm-hmm. Bring on this what's working. Kind of like, you know, we just did our big Star Trek marathon, and they kept on finding a way to bring Worf back, you know, even though he was on Deep Space Nine and doing all this other stuff. It's like, he's flying the Defiant. He's here for Riker's wedding. He's getting his toenails done because he really likes the spa they got at the Enterprise. They kept on inventing him. And I think for The Walking Dead, it'd be real easy for like, Daryl and Carol's fish, you know, shrimp boat is in. let's see, and they brought tales of a ghost pirate ship that needs to be, I could see them going on to that, but I just don't, at some point, I don't know, maybe they have equilibrium now, but at some point I feel like the public's appetite for zombies continues to cool off, and they've got to consolidate, you know. It's like a campfire, when it starts to burn out, got to rake all those coals together, you spread them apart, they get cold, but you got to rake them together, get them white hot.
Who's that director that does the movies where he films like kids when they're kids, and then 20 years later he comes back?
Richard Linklater.
Yeah, do like that. Have just leave it, you know, do whatever show you want, leave Alexandria, and then every 2 years release a movie for the next like 30 years just showing us what's going on in Alexandria.
I mean, even Robert Kirkman got tired of Alexandria.
I just want to see the rebuilding of civilization. Like, I want to see it over that time dilated sort of pattern. I don't know.
Yeah. Kind of like, I'm trying to think of a show that has done that, where they have a flash. I mean, that's kind of, I don't know. There's a speculation that The Expanse might try something like that, but. Something that is like, a day in the life, kind of almost like Assassin's Creed, you know. Like, I haven't played Assassin's Creed since like the first three, but that was like, you always had like the modern day stuff where they're in the mind simulators, and but in Assassin's, like, you kept on jumping forward 100 200 years, completely different characters, different countries, still the assassin organization, you still had the modern day stuff to kind of bring it to a bow, but Yeah, I could get down with that. Like, what's Alexander look like 30 years, 60 years, you know, 90
years?
Yeah,
I just want a series of those. Like, show me periodically what Alexandria is up to and how they're reforming things.
Yeah, I could get down with that.
All right, next up.
Next one.
Are you guys going to review any of the season 9 episodes or no?
Wait, is this a joke?
I don't know. Like, if... Yeah, they are, if you go to baldmove.com/tag/watching-dead, or just search for, you know, Bald Move Walking Dead. Yeah, we've got all of season 9 in the can with review. We even did a skit, did a classic Bald Move Walking Dead skit for King Ezekiel's Renaissance Fair he threw at the end of that season.
It's sometimes just hard to get that information out to everybody, like, especially when we're off for a couple of years or whatever, and then come back.
Yeah, and there's a whole pandemic and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's what we did during last summer when there was absolutely nothing coming out on television. We decided, you know what? Fuck it. We'll do The Walking Dead. It'll be fun. And we fell back in love with the show. That's the crazy thing. All right, let's spin the roulette wheel once again.
Hey guys, it's Michelle. So as we know, season 11 is going to be the final season of the entire series. And I know you just started season 10, but I will say that right now, I can't really envision any kind of scenario, for lack of a better word, or any kind of a way that they're going to end this series that makes any sort of sense. Right now, it seems like we're still kind of in the thick of it. You know, we're dealing with the Whispers and with Ezekiel being sick and just sort of some other things. So I wanted to know what your thoughts are on that. How do you envision them ending this show? If you think about where we are right now.
I mean, the literal answer is they're not going to end it. It's this is a rocket that is going to hurl Norman Reedus and Melissa McBride into an even higher orbit. So, because that's the thing, like, I don't feel like it's going to feel like an ending. I feel like it's going to leave places like there's going to be the end of the Whisperer War. And I don't know if that stretches on to season 11. I kind of would be surprised, especially if my nuke theory is true. That seems like a definitive thing. But I feel like there will be, you know, one last thing. Of course, there's like 20 more episodes after this. It's a long season. But I don't think it's going to feel like an ending. I think it's going to feel like a good place to leave a couple of your characters, favorite characters. You're going to know that other of your favorite characters are going to go on and continue a show. And you know that another couple set of your favorite characters are going to do a few movies together. But like, I think it's just going to be, like you're just like you're Daryl and Carol and you're packing up and you're going to put Alexander in your rearview mirror, but it's not going to feel like it's ending.
It's not goodbye. It's just see you later.
Yeah. And like, you know, one of my favorite series of all time, because the author died, Patrick O'Brien, that's exactly how his series left. It's just in the middle of a voyage, Jack and Steven go out one more time and they just never come back. You know, they're still out there sailing the seven seas to this day, as far as I know. So that sometimes can feel good, you know, rather than things having a definitive end, rather than Walt dying, rather than Tony fading to black, rather than, you know, I guess Mad Men felt like that a little bit, right?
A little bit.
But
like
that didn't end. Don Draper just gets a coy smile on his face when he thinks about Coke. And the drink, not the pile of white stuff. So,
I mean, what do you think? So I know this wasn't planned from the get go, and it's something they've had to adjust to over the last couple of years. But I think whatever they're going to do for the end of this series needs to have, at this point, something to do with the reason Maggie has left and what she's been doing out there.
That feels like
the final pin to knock over in this terrible bowling analogy that I'm half constructing. whatever it's going to be, I think it's got to involve her and Georgie and what she's been doing the whole time she's been gone.
That a satisfying end to that. Heath staggers in with the PPP card.
Oh, no.
No, but I like, it would be interesting if like Georgie represents some kind of United Federation of Planets type deal, and like the Alexandria Confederation is being considered for that, and they're just
sure
they're going to give him the binder, and then we're going to check back on you in 10 years to see what happens next, right? I can see that being, cool, but yeah, that's the best call. Like, I do need to know what the hell is going on with Georgie and what Maggie's doing, and that should converge into some, you know, much larger world. Like, that'd be a great place to leave The Walking Dead too. The idea that like maybe all of North America has loosely united into some kind of like alliance of settler bands, because that's something they're clearly playing with in season two. Like, three separate characters pondered, is there more than this? Are there other people like this? Is this all like gesturing vaguely to all 10 seasons of The Walking Dead? Is this is this all there is? So yeah, and that would be the logical thing that would take it to the next level. It's a good question.
All right, see if the next one is too.
I think this
one
is
more thing I did want to actually add about Fear the Walking Dead is that when, as you said earlier, Morgan obviously comes into it, for me that's when it really started to pick up and really become like an enjoyable show to watch, and something that really actually did kind of fit with The Walking Dead, and it, like, to me did make sense alongside it. And obviously I won't give a name because I don't want to give any spoilers to anyone who wants to watch it and hasn't, but another character from The Walking Dead comes into it, and he was actually quite a key character in The Walking Dead. And when he came into it again, and then having him and Morgan really did make that show so much better, in my opinion.
Why do I not know who that is? Heath. She said a key character, man.
Yeah, he had the key card.
Oh, God.
Heath is the key man to The Walking Dead. Yeah, I can't believe I didn't hear who is everyone that's left the cast and left it without dying. Is the key? It's like, you know, it's like, yeah, I could think of like Shane, he's dead. Morgan is alive. Rick is not, you know, he's not going to come back until a movie. Who all left that didn't die? Like, most of the people that leave the show die.
Was it Daryl when Daryl went off into the woods for a while?
Did they? I mean, I guess I could see him doubling up duty on that, but yeah, I don't know. I have to do some research, but Livy here is on the Walking Dead promotion. Well, Fear the Walking Dead promotion team, I think.
Yeah.
She might be their stereo.com liaison. But I'm actually very curious to see what other key Walking Dead person they could have brought on there. Yeah, you're right. Daryl would make sense because he definitely had the absence. But you'd think he would say something. We'd heard some of him say like, "Oh yeah, I swung by blah blah blah, and you'll never guess who I found there."
Right.
Carol? Is Carol taking a shrimp boat down the coast and having run ins with the fear? Because you know, when I stopped watching Fear the Walking Dead, they were like a flotilla. So.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Do we want to fire up one more here?
Let's do this one more, then we're getting out of here. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Glad you guys got back into The Walking Dead. I really liked your guys' instant takes back season 5, 6. Did either of you or both of you finish the comic or the graphic novel? And if you did, what would you think of the way it ended?
Unfortunately, I did not, and that was a conscious decision because I found that like I was continually being disappointed in the show and what, you know, how it decided to do the comic books. When we finished the show, I actually might go back and read that because it's quick. Like, I read the first 100 issues in The Walking Dead in like the space of a week. You know, you can just like bang through those things. But no, I haven't paid much attention to it. I know that like Kirkman originally stated that, you know, hey, when you understand the whole thing, it's all going to be about Carl and it's going to be this big Prince Valiant story. And like, we were only not even halfway done at 100 or whatever. And I think he was like, LOL, just kidding, and bailed on that, you know, for the ending. So
Yeah, I finished it as much as Kirkman did.
Yeah, I might, like I said, when all is said and done at season 11, I might, for like a wrap-up pod, I might just go ahead and grab whatever the biggest compendium I can get and just blitz through it and then talk about that, because
yeah,
you know, I bailed right at the Whisperer's arc, and from what I can tell, it's going, are you making barrels over there? That's what are you doing on the on the stereo app? Oh, it's a cat? I see. And as far as I could tell, it looked like they were kind of like, that is very similar to how the comic book arc was going. So, I don't know. I don't know how many storylines were past the Whisperers. But, yeah, that might be something cool to do. But I appreciate everybody stopping by to give us feedback on the season. We're going to take this MP3. If you missed the, you know, if you got here late, we're going to take this the audio file and throw it in the Walking Dead feed later this week. And then every Wednesday at 9 p.m. from here until we're finished with season 10A of The Walking Dead, we're going to be doing this call-in show at 9 o'clock on Wednesday. Same Walking Dead time, same Walking Dead channel at stereo.com/baldmove. Thanks, everybody, for participating. Thanks in particular, Michelle, for moderating, and everybody that's brave enough to call us up and let us hear your voice. Hope to see you again next week. And until then, I'm Aaron.
I'm Jim.
Bye, everybody.